Hello, everyone. Welcome to Full Press NFL Podcast. I'm your host, Ian Glendon, and we are here with Mr. John Savicetti, my co-host on FPC Radio Live, and one half of the Pick and Roll Podcast team on the Full Press Coverage Podcast Network. And we are here with not live, but breaking news just about an hour or so ago, 45 minutes or so. The NFL and the NFLPA have apparently agreed to a 11-game suspension and a $5 million fine for Browns quarterback Deshaun Watson, giving him a debut in Week 12 against, you guessed it, the Houston Texans. So, John, we've talked about this to great extent on the FPC Radio Live show during the mornings during the week. And, you know, when this first all came about, our initial floor, I would say, for all of this was, well, he has to be suspended for at least the season, correct? Well, you know, the original ruling was 6 games. This one is 11. Now, you know, it's better than 6 games, but again, it still feels like it falls very short. And $5 million in the, you know, grand scheme of things, when he has 230 guaranteed to him, is not that much.
No, not much at all. And he's accepted this, so he'll be back for game number 12, like you said, against the Houston Texans. This was two sides, I think, just saying, let's get this done and get it over with. It, we talked about earlier in the week, Ian, I think that if he was suspended for the entire year, then it would carry into the off season, and the league probably wanted to get away from that. 6 games was far too few, and a full season may have been too much in that sense, that this story would continue to go on and on and on. I think everyone just feels that if they come back when they're coming back now, that sure, the final 6 games of the season, he's going to hear a lot of backlash, but then it'll be over with, and then he can move on to 2023. I just wish, and this is, you know, obviously going off the rails a little bit, why doesn't the league just go to 18 games, 20 weeks? Like, the 17-game schedule drives me crazy. It's just like there's no other sport that has an odd number of games. They're going to go to 18 games at some point. So let's go to 18 games, 2 bye weeks. So the regular season would be 20 weeks and the Super Bowl would be the Sunday before Patriots Day, and football would be even that much longer because I think there's certainly a market for it. But that's just me bloviating for a second. But I think the 11 games make sense and they can kind of all go on their merry way and see what happens. The thing I want to ask you is at this point, Ian, what does Cleveland do? Because with 6 games, okay, it was going to be Jacoby Brissett. You kind of hope that he goes, I don't know, 2-4, 3-3, whatever it may be. Now with 11 games, they look to bring someone else in for that period of time because it's a longer stretch. Is Jimmy Garoppolo someone that they may be interested in once he's released by San Francisco? That's something that Cleveland's going to have to address as well.
Yeah, look, I mean, I think they've said that they're committed to Jacoby Brissett regardless of the number of games. You know, if, and ironically, if Jimmy Garoppolo is available, he could supplant Jacoby Brissett. And look, you know, it's not a massive upgrade. You know, we've talked about Jimmy Garoppolo in the past, but, you know, it could be a good opportunity for Jimmy, especially to kind of, you know, increase his value for next season, which, you know, could potentially be the last contract he gets because, you know, he's coming off surgery. But you go to a team that's pretty darn talented. So the opportunity is there for him on offense to thrive. And if he does a good job in Deshaun Watson's absence, then, you know, that could certainly boost his value in the offseason and certainly get him a better opportunity than if he just, you know, rode the bench somewhere and did spot duty. So, but to go back real quick to kind of the reasoning for the 11 games. Now, I saw this on Twitter, and I've been trying to pull it up to give proper credit, and I'll try to do that at some point in the show or in this episode. But there's a very specific reason, or it seems like there's a very specific reason as to why it was 11 games and it wasn't to set up the very made-for-TV return against the Houston Texans. Apparently, had he missed a 12th game, it would have not given him credit for a full season. Therefore, his salary and contract for this year would have carried over and began next year, as opposed, you know what I'm saying? So this obviously saved him from that, because technically, John, his salary this year is only $1 million, kind of how the Texans structured the contract based on, you know, the assumption that he was going to have, or the presumption that he was going to have to serve a suspension of some length. So, you know, the reality of it is, this is relative to the situation, this is a very light punishment, certainly financially. I think someone tweeted it. It's something like 2% of the guaranteed money that he made. Now, you know, the money is going to go to charity, and you know, that's all well and good, and at least that's a positive in all of this. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, he still gets to keep 98% of that guaranteed, record guaranteed contract that the Browns gave him, and could potentially be rewarded at the end of the season, because the Browns could potentially stay in the mix, again, depending on, you know, what kind of quarterback they play they get, whether it's from Jacoby Brissett or whoever. And kind of to go back to that, John, I don't know what other option out there besides Jimmy Garoppolo would exist for the Browns, you know, in the free agent / trade market.
Yeah, the only thing I think of is if Carolina moves on from Sam Darnold and they just
That's true.
Decide that Baker Mayfield is the guy, maybe it's better to just keep Baker and let go of Sam Darnold. But then Darnold would be on his third team and his value keeps going down and down and down. He may just be a career backup. So, yeah, there's a lot there. Don't you think Cleveland would have preferred a 12-game suspension so that that contract didn't kick in until next year? Because then they'd have one more year of control over Deshaun Watson. I mean, what's the difference? 11 or 12 games, they'd get an extra year out of them.
Well, I mean, they shelled out all this guaranteed money. I'm pretty sure they're not really care to, you know, really caring about how many years or if they can squeeze in an extra. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I don't think that's really necessary for them. I mean, just look at the way they structured the contract. Like, if, you know, if they wanted to save a couple bucks under this contract, they would have not given him the 1 year. You know, the first year being a greatly reduced salary for the very purpose of, well, if he was going to get fined in relative to his salary for that season, well, the fine was going to be very limited, as opposed to, you know, had it been for his salary next year, it would have been a fine of, you know, somewhere in close to $40 million.
Right.
So it's that's the difference. So I think the team obviously, and this probably helped facilitate the trade, because Deshaun Watson obviously had a no trade clause. So, you know, this is what Cleveland was able to offer. We're like, hey, look, we're going to sweeten the deal. We're going to give you this great contract. We're going to structure it so, you know, you potentially would not risk as much of that money in that first season if he were to be suspended and so on and so forth. So I think this kind of would fall in line with them saying, yeah, we're good with 11 games because, you know, at the end of the day, the most important thing for them is, well, we need to win football games. And the sooner you get Deshaun Watson back, the better your chance is to win football games, certainly based on what we think his replacement's going to be.
Especially in that division, right? Because the four teams last year were pretty close. You had the Cincinnati Bengals won the division at 10-7. Pittsburgh was 9-7-1. They made it as a wild card team. Both Cleveland and Baltimore, who looked like the favorites going into the season, both finished 8-9, but they had a lot of injuries. Baker Mayfield played while hurt. Lamar Jackson missed a lot of time with that ankle. So you could kind of look at these four teams and say they're pretty darn close. I mean, I think Pittsburgh is a team that's trying to find a quarterback where the other three teams will have quarterbacks after week 12 when Deshaun Watson returns. Obviously, Lamar Jackson and Joe Burrow are both outstanding quarterbacks. So, yeah, I mean, look, if he comes back and plays the final six games and that's what it's going to be, maybe they have a chance. In terms of the financial aspect of it, essentially $1 million a year for this year. It comes to about $60,000 per game, so it's going to cost him $660,000 to miss those 11 games, which is a mere pittance compared to the $230 million guaranteed on the contract. Then you add in the fine, so it works out quite well for him. But I'm just glad it's finally over with. I mean, I would have preferred a full season, but then there would have been an appeal involved, and again, it would have carried into next season. So I think all parties just said, let's just split this down the middle, 11 games, and move on from there.
Yeah, this wasn't the noble fight like it was for Tom Brady, you know, where it was there's good reason to feel like there was an injustice there. No, this is far from that and the exact opposite. So yeah, I'm with you. I'm glad that it's over. And there is at least that, in a way, an admission of guilt on his behalf. And I'm not giving him credit for anything. I'm just saying at least we got that. It wasn't, you know, deny. There was, in some ways, maybe not direct, but, you know, you can infer things from what he said in his press conferences and stuff like that. And obviously the acceptance of deals like this, generally, I'm not going to say all the time, but generally there is some guilt involved. And again, people will sit there, oh, look, you know, Tom Brady this. I'm like, no, you could go back and go through the process of what happened, the acceptance of the deal, or the suspension, rather. There wasn't a negotiation, was based on, well, there was no options available left for Tom Brady based on how the CBA was ruled. In this situation, the acceptance of the deal was, well, I meaning Deshaun Watson, did something very wrong as ruled by even the original arbitrator or the original judge who gave him the 6-game suspension, and I'm going to accept what I can, and in this case, this favors what he wanted, because I think the original report out there a couple months ago was the Deshaun Watson camp was willing to accept up to a 12-game suspension. And what did they get? 11 and a $5 million fine. So the biggest winner in all of this is Deshaun Watson by a mile.
Sure, because, I mean, we all thought he was going to miss this year, and who knows, they could have suspended him indefinitely, right? Put him on the commissioner's exempt list, and that could carry into next season. And that obviously would weigh on him and his franchise. So, yeah, I think it's a win for Deshaun Watson, because this could have gone into 2023. So at least now he has a date, knowing when he can come back. The Browns can kind of move on and see what they're going to do in the first 12 weeks, first 11 games. And I think also just looking at the schedule, it works out that he's going to miss one game and play one game against his three divisional rivals. I don't know why I'm getting so deep into the divisional mechanism of this, maybe because I'm going to be posting a column soon on overs and unders for a couple of teams in that division. So I just waited to weigh in and what's going to happen with Deshaun Watson, because obviously he's a better quarterback than Jacoby Brissett. But, you know, they're trying to be fair to the other teams in the division. So, you know, he's not going to miss two games against the Bengals and play two games against the Ravens. Although at some point, who cares about that stuff? Because this is trying to punish someone for obvious wrongdoing. And again, we both agree it should have been a year, but to be pragmatic, this makes a lot of sense.
Well, look, I mean, they have a fairly, I don't want to say it's easy, but they have an okay, like the easiest part of their schedule, they have a pretty tough schedule. And I'm looking at it right now overall. You know, they play the AFC West. So you're seeing the Chargers. Oh, I'm sorry. No. They're playing the Chargers. They're playing the AFC East, so they're playing the Bills. And, you know, for what it's worth, the Patriots are still going to be, I think they're going to be a tough opponent. But their first couple of games against the Panthers and at the Jets with likely or a good chance that Zach Wilson is not the starter. Although, again, Joe Flacco might not be a bad replacement in that sense. I guess, you know, to kind of shift gears and try to think of it in football sense, how do you think this Browns team can stay afloat? Do they have to be 5-6 at worst, you know?
I would think so, right? And they've got a tough schedule. And look, the last game they'll play without Deshaun Watson is going to be against Tampa Bay. So, you know, that's obviously a tough opponent with or without Deshaun Watson. Obviously, that much more difficult without him. And then he comes back and they have those three divisional games. They also play the Texans, which should be a team they should be able to beat. Of course, as I said, they play the Bengals, Ravens, and Steelers. They play the Saints at home, and they also play at Washington. So it's kind of a wonky 6-game stretch there. And look, Cleveland right now, I'd say, is a team that's somewhere in the middle, like a lot of teams in the NFL, because they were 8-9 last year. They seem to – they're not able to get out of their own way. And then, of course, you're going to have Jacoby Brissett, who we both like as a quarterback, but look at him more as a backup, a nice backup quarterback. He's going to play 11 games. So, yeah, if they're 5-6, Deshaun Watson comes back and goes 4-2 in those 6 games. Now you're 9-8. You kind of maybe in the wild card race, although the AFC is so deep, Ian, that I don't know if 9-8 is going to make it. I think you're going to need to get the double-digit wins to qualify.
Consider this, too. I might even call it right now, and maybe I'll make a bet on it, but Texans might have a good chance to win that game, too. You know, we're sitting there assuming that they're, you know, they're, look, I don't think they're going to be a great team at all, but considering that it's in Houston, you know, he did express his want to get out of Houston, so there's going to be some, obviously, animosity from the fans in that situation. Then, of course, I would imagine, you know, based on his off-the-field situation, there's going to be some backlash from the fans and the environment. And then on top of that, it's his first game that he's played in nearly 2 years. So right. There's a good chance, and I'm saying it right now, that, you know, you're going to expect the Browns to go in and win that game, you know, potentially coming off back-to-back losses, considering, like you said, they play the Buccaneers, and the week before that, it's the Bills. They could be coming off back-to-back losses and get run over by an emotional Texans team, you know, who's getting revenge and kind of being the quote-unquote America's team for the week, you know, because there's not going to be too many people outside of Cleveland or diehard Browns fans that are going to be rooting for Deshaun Watson week in and week out, especially that very first time he steps on the field.
Yeah, without question, and a point well taken as far as the Texans, because they're going to be at home, their crowd's going to be revved up, and Deshaun Watson went from being probably the most popular athlete in Houston. I mean, people loved him, especially early in his career when his first game check he donated to a couple of workers at Reliant Stadium who lost their homes because of the hurricane. He seemed like a really good guy. I mean, that's what you really liked about Deshaun Watson, humble, charitable, someone who that they were going to build around. And then all of a sudden we find out all of these ugly details about his off-field activities. So, yeah, that's going to be a pretty involved crowd, I would think. And also, like you said, Ian, he hasn't played in nearly two calendar years. And even the great Michael Jordan, who missed nearly two calendar years, needed a few games to put up 55 against the Knicks. You know, he had to wait a few games to put up 55 at Madison Square Garden. We're talking about Michael Jordan. So, yeah, it's probably going to be a slow comeback into play for Deshaun Watson, because all those teams are going to be up to speed heading down the stretch into December, and all of a sudden he's going to be out there for the first time in nearly 2 years playing really competitive football.
Yeah, and like I said, I mean, that's a prime upset alert. You know, the Texans could be 0-11 at that point, and I think I would bet a nice amount of money on them to win that game, and I think a lot of people will be at least rooting for them for a few hours during that 1 o'clock time block. So there you have it, folks. The Deshaun Watson saga is coming to a halt. It's coming to a end. 11 games Watson will serve, and he will pay a $5 million fine. And then for all intents and purposes, this situation will be behind him. It's, like I said, It is what it is. We're just going to have to accept it at this point. So thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Give us a follow on Twitter at Full Press NFL. And, of course, search the Full Press NFL podcast wherever you listen to your shows, and download our podcast and enjoy. Have a great one. We'll talk to you soon.